It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome, everybody. Insight. This gorgeous August, 25th, Neil?
24. Tomorrow's the 25th. Well, that's what my calendar here says.
Okay, then you're right, then.
So, yeah, 24.
Okay.
That's what's on here.
This is the 24th. And we're back to Insight, the first show of the new season.
Yep.
And we're honored to have in studio the superintendent of Fort Recovery Local Schools, Mr. Larry Brown. Hello, Larry.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Jack. Appreciate it.
It is always a pleasure to kind of open up the new year, finding out what's new, what's old, what's borrowed and blue, I guess.
We're old.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We're certainly not getting any younger. So, as compared to the last couple years, is this a year where, like, there won't be any COVID-type things going on in the schools? I mean,
we certainly hope so. There's still a variant kind of going around. And so we're just going to, as the CDC recommends, you treat it like an illness. And so if one of the students or one of the teachers does come up with a BA5 variant, then there's a certain protocol to leave out, but there's no tracing anymore. There's no
mask.
Getting tests before you come back to school. If you test positive, we ask that you stay out for the fever-free days, and then come back, after you've been tested.
Fantastic that we can get back to what's hopefully normal.
I would say it'll be a lot more normal than 2020, that's for sure.
Without a doubt. So as we look to the new year, first of all, let's talk about the past summer. So what's been some of the things that's happened up at the school since the end of May that if somebody went in now might be new or different?
Yeah, well, obviously the boosters are making progress on the softball and baseball field, and so that's kind of a very visible addition and making good progress there. And so we're looking forward to start of the season of March 31st, and Holly might bring that up later if she's in tonight. And then in addition to that, we did the flooring in the auditoria. We call it an auditoria. Like an auditorium and cafeteria put together. Was 21 years old, and it had a real thin fiber-based carpeting on the top of it. It was not designed to last forever.
Yeah.
And so we have replaced that flooring with
vinyl. For as many things as they've had in there in 20
it's
years.
Done wonderful.
Yeah. I don't remember it ever looking at it and saying, that looks a little bad. But 20 years, that's pretty good.
Very good. In fact, we've had lots of people come and look at that floor and saw it. And then we also have, we did get some advice. And so we do have an 8-layer vinyl flooring that's been placed down there. It's a kind of a gray background with new trim, and that has a sound a layer that's in there. So we involved our music teachers in hearing from others in other districts that had that type of floor, and so they're happy with it. And we're very happy. It's very clean. We installed a 300-gallon hot water heater at the high school. People won't see that, though, but it'll be nice to not have the hot water go out all of a sudden. That tank was quite old also. Yeah. We were seeing corrosion, and we just wanted to do it during the summer, and so we bid that out and got that job done. In addition, there's tons of cleaning stuff. Really appreciate the work of our maintenance crew and the people that we hire in on summer help to get things going together. We had a couple painters that came in that have worked with us the last 2 years, and they did a lot of spot painting. Yep. We did the high school last year, and this year we did the 3-4-5 hallway, and then additionally in the elementary did some spot painting all over the building to spruce it up. There's lots of, there was education going on too. We had summer school. We had a new program where we two of our staff members, Joe Ranley and Mandy Gerlach, took a few students to get experiences both at the library and outside of our community to do that. So those are kids that were looking for those options and didn't necessarily always have the opportunity to do that. So some new programming there. High school had summer classes to prepare for testing that they retakes for those testing, and we had of those that came back, 52% of those students passed that test, and so they don't have to worry about it during the school year. So
awesome.
There's lots of stuff. The chiller, we do have word to last night that the chiller is ready. We're coordinating the ship date and how much time it takes to ship it here.
Yeah.
And so we're not that far away. That's news to our staff. And we're trying to coordinate with the contractor and our architectural firm who planned the change out of the chiller. And so that'll be coming the next couple of weeks. It could be delivered yet early next week.
Awesome. And then so like to put it in, is that like an over the weekend type
thing? Well, that's what we were kind of hoping for. We were hoping to be here just a day earlier than Monday, or a work day earlier. So I'm still waiting to hear when we'll actually put it down, because we still need the current chiller to chill the building. And,
sure.
And so it's functioning well. Our rooms were brought down to 74, over the evenings each evening and in the morning. And so they basically shut that down, take all the refrigerant out and disconnect everything, lift it with a crane over top of the fencing area that's in, drop the new one in, hook it all back up, put refrigerant in, hook it up with all the control systems, and then we hopefully get a go.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
But like hell it works.
Yeah. Regal Construction is our contractor, and so they're pretty confident they can do it in 2 days. If we have to do another day, we'll adjust and go from there.
So when like it comes to things like that, like for a unit that big, is like that's something that just like local contractors like just don't handle things of that size.
Yeah, there's some of the big electrical HVAC people certainly understand those systems and know how to make sure they're hooked up. But yeah, that's coming from Wisconsin or something like that. We were waiting on a chip for that to work.
And
but yeah, that's over $100,000 piece of equipment. So that had to go through a bid process, and then we worked with Garmin Miller to solicit bids for the construction work on it also, to make sure everything mechanical and electrical was all hooked up correctly with the control systems that it needs. It'll be a marked difference because our current chiller, the compressors are not functioning 100%.
Yeah. Well, good. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about other things about the facility as far as, so our buildings are a year older now than what they were last year, and what those are like, as well as our, finances and other things. So we'll be back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that The company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It has been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
Wow! Are you in the mood to win some cold hard cash? The 4th annual Win on the Wall Bash will be held August 26th and 27th, and we are giving you a chance now for the pre-event 50-50 raffle. You need not be present to win. 5 tickets cost just $20. Visit wowraffle.com to purchase. The winner will be drawn live on our pre-event show Thursday, August 25th at 7 p.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Wabash Television, Channel 70. Don't miss out on your opportunity to win. Get your 50-50 tickets today.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Rocker's in studio. Hello, Rocker.
Hi, Jack.
I missed you this summer.
Somehow I doubt that.
How can you miss him if he won't go away?
Well.
I see Marcia more than I see you.
Well, good for you.
I don't really want to know about that, Rocker.
Church.
Okay. Oh, church. Well, I'm in church when she is.
Not every time.
Probably not. So.
Because you're too busy.
So, you know, they just played that commercial about the WOW.
Yep, the 50-50 right? drawing.
The 50-50 drawing, the deadline to buy tickets is when?
Midnight tonight. And I haven't looked for a little bit, but it was well over $9,000, so it's probably over $10,000 the winner's half now.
Wow.
So, yes, that's exactly right. WOW is...
And to buy those tickets, what do they have to do, Neil?
Go online. You can click on their Facebook page. You can go onto the WOW. I can't remember exactly what their website is, but it's easy to find if you just go on Win on the Wabash on Facebook. I'm doing that now. Just WOW Super Raffle pops up, and they've got several things here. As of 2 hours ago, excuse me, it was $8,500, but I believe when I got a ticket about an hour ago, it was like $9,800 or something like that.
Fantastic.
So it'll be $10,000 before the night's over. If it's not, I guess you'll settle for $8,500.
Yeah. And you don't have to be present.
Correct.
For that one, right? Okay. So, get on there. Get your 50-50 tickets. Hope to see everybody this weekend at the WOW. And one person that I know you'll see at the WOW is Mr. Larry Brown and his band. What's your band called?
Well, it's actually a lead singer is Chris Phillips. He's our guitarist and backed up by myself and my college roommate, Ray Murphy. And all three of us are actually bassists. But we all play other instruments, too. But I'll be playing bass and harmonica, and Chris will be doing guitar. And Ray will be doing guitar and keyboards. So
very good.
We're at the noon to 1 slot. So this should be a good time, fun time. Yeah.
Yep.
This is our Mercer County debut. So
all right. So, you know, are we talking like Def Leppard, AC/DC?
Well, we haven't worked those
pumpkins
up.
Or?
You're going to see more like Peaceful Easy Feeling and Margaritaville
Eagles.
Sweet Caroline. That's one of them. And so just that style of time period and
fantastic.
Turn the Page.
Yeah,
those kind of things.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, I know a bunch of people.
I know a bunch of people too.
Yeah, we'll be
there. Oh, you weren't finished it. I'm sorry.
I'm done. we'll be there. So, you know, you'll start a whole new group of groupies for you there.
We'll see. We'll have a good time, that's for sure. Yeah. And excited to do it. And we played, the last time we played was August 15th up in Vermilion Boat Club. So
awesome.
Had a good time up there.
That's only been 10 days.
Yeah.
9 days.
Yeah. So.
That's good.
So, good luck. Break a leg or whatever they're supposed to say.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to your main job.
Sure.
Okay. So you were talking about some of the building changes and stuff. So overall, what type of shape are buildings in?
Certainly, I'm so impressed with, you know, when you walk into that elementary, middle school, and certainly condition of all the rooms and what needs to happen there. They, you know, district takes not just, you know, recently, but in all the way from the start of the build and through the process of the last 21 years in that building, and also the improvements that have made to the high school certainly have lasted, and we do the best we can to keep those. Our major concerns are still underground piping.
Yeah.
There's some cast iron and some other piping issues that are scary. They're not easy to get to.
Yeah.
And so when we have to do repair with something like that, it causes some major challenges. But
yeah.
Instructionally, we do the best we can with those situations. And
then, you know, it is hard to believe that our new gym is fast approaching being 50 years old, you know, which is, and what, Rocker?
50 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. And I forgot to mention we had a resurfacing of that gym, and they redid the white lines on that, so yeah. They'll be a little crisper this fall for volleyball and this winter for basketball. And then we did total strip down of the middle school gym, went down to bare wood on that one, and then repainted it all. And that's ready for use tomorrow, I think, for athletics.
And it's still one of the best looking gyms in the MAC, in the whole area. Mm-hmm. I think.
Sure, for sure.
It is just sharp. So, getting away from the changes in the buildings, how about staff? Are there any new faces?
Yeah, we have some new faces. We over the summer, early on, we had the departure of special education teacher, so we hired Heather Addington to join our staff in special education. So she'll be working primarily at the middle school. We had a loss midsummer of a person we hired last year, and she went on to do more of a ministry work with camps and Christian camps. Mm-hmm. And so she gave us a letter of resignation, and after a bunch of internal shuffles, we end up with hiring Courtney Klosterman. So we're excited to have her. She student taught in our district, and we're excited to have her back. Luke Mullenkamp has joined our bus driving staff, and so he's going to do basically just the driving aspect of morning and PM routes. And so once he gets all his certifications done, he'll be taking that route. We've got some subs that are covering that for right now. And we gladly added Tammy Reiser, who was a community member who was part of the Mercer County ESC and as an aide, and now she's hired as our staff as an aide in our district. So there have been some other people that have been hired that were contracted with the Mercer County ESC, but those are the ones that are employees of the district.
Yeah. So I know in years past, the whole bus driver thing has been a real challenge as far as getting all the slots filled and having the right number of backups. So is that in a little bit better shape than it was in years past?
With filling that full-time position, because we had a change mid-year last year, and so we were kind of trying to come up with a temporary plan for that. And so when we did hire a full-time person, it cleans it up quite a bit, but there's still a need for drivers. So if there's anybody out there that wants to get on our sub list, for driving, and that leads you toward a future route. Well, down the road, I'm sure we'll have some full routes and maybe some jobs that also go have maintenance part of it during the day and full-time positions, though.
Yeah. So when you look at classified subs, are you always, like, looking for people to add to that list?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, and we always want the, local people that are willing to do that. So we can generally find subs, but there are times, when there's a busy, end of the week, or there's a bunch of illness going through the community that we have trouble filling it. We appreciate, anybody that wanted to join our staff on a part-time basis, there's options for them.
And how would they go about doing that?
We have on our website, we do have a application process. They do need to get the fingerprinting and some of the other things that are mandatory. We get them on the sub list, and then they are available. We like, with our classified staff substitutes, we like them to sign up for everything, and they can say no if there's something they don't want to do, but we don't.
Sure.
We used to kind of have like aides and cooks, and now we want them to sign up for all the classified jobs, and they can pick which ones they choose to do.
They say yes
to. But we have some that'll do cooking, cleaning, and help with kids.
Probably some of them think, I just want to help in the kitchen, and then they have an opportunity to be an aide in the classroom, and you might be something that they take to
enjoy.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, good. So, is the same thing true from a substitute teacher standpoint? Is there still a shortage?
Oh, definitely. There's a shortage nationwide on teachers and teachers, substitute teachers. They did reopen the ease in which you can get a temporary license for subbing to be a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
Or actually a high school diploma and work toward that. But we do have some people that qualify again. They almost shut that down, but with the shortage throughout the state, they opened that back up. So we have some people that can come in our classroom and assist us, and we have some good people in our community, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and some of them have experience, maybe not necessarily in the classroom per se, but as leaders and babysitters, and just there's a lot of opportunity out there for people that are interested in that.
Yeah.
Do your teaching subs, are those ones that you guys get, or is that from the county?
That is still goes through the Mercer County SC. They do the hiring process, and then they have a part of the application process. They check which boxes districts they might want to participate in. So they're the ones that actually make sure the licensing. That's not true of the classified. We take care of the classified approvals.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, we still get through the ESC, and they vet all the.
So there is a chance you could get somebody from another
for
place
sure.
besides
yep. Yep.
Fort Recovery,
mm-hmm.
but there'd still be, I guess, for lack of a
it's
better word, approved
yes.
by the county. So
correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they have a process they go through at yep. ESC to have them come in and talk to them, make sure they're vetted.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the staffing, the number of students, and what we can talk, what we can find out from average class size type thing.
Sure.
So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, you can run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. The Kubota B-Series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Miracle Lanes is now open Thursday through Sunday until the bowling season starts in September. They'll have all your favorites, and all you have to do is grab your phone and call them at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Or stop by and visit with Corey and Jared. The kids want pizza, but you want a tenderloin? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Pizza, wings, subs, one of their great sandwiches, fried goodies, get whatever you want. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their buffet with pizza, boneless wings, and salad bar. Miracle Lanes will be open at 3 on Thursday and 11 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Call them at 375-4274.
Ah, nothing says fall better than the smell of chili in the air, the sound of horseshoes clanking iron, and the sight of young kids pedaling tractors down a dirt track. Of course, I'm talking about the St. Joe Homecoming Festival, held on September 9th through 11th on the grounds of St. Joseph Church, 1.5 miles northeast of Fort Recovery. It all kicks off on that Friday night with St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament and wraps up on that Sunday evening with the Friends of St. Joe Church raffle drawing. From kids' games to gambling, cake stands to live music, horseshoe tournaments to tractor pulls, and plenty of food and drinks, there's fun for the entire family at the St. Joe Festival September 9th through 11th. See the Church Bulletin or St. Joe Homecoming Festival Facebook page for all the details.
We're back. Neil's mad at me.
Yeah,
Rocker, you see Neil?
So you come back for 1 week and you're going on vacation already.
No, it's a business trip.
You're retired.
You're retired.
Oh, crap. I have to come up with something different, won't I?
Yes, you will.
So we're here with Superintendent Larry Brown of Fort Recovery Schools. And Larry, we were going to talk about like the staffing and class size and stuff. And you were talking about the size of the first grade class. So, you know, would you share a little bit about
right.
that?
Yeah, it was interesting when they entered kindergarten, we had over 90 students. And so I don't believe any of them moved out. They're all still and moved on to first grade as far as I can tell. And so we do have open enrollment in our school district, and then that allows for anybody in the state of Ohio. It's not just contiguous districts. It's all districts in Ohio, not Indiana,
yeah,
that can open enroll into our district. And so our current first grade is the grade level that's closed down. We have a board kind of practice that we do not exceed 23. And that's part of the application. They know that. Yeah. It's a part of the application process. 23 in a classroom. And so for this year, we are maxed out for first grade. It doesn't behoove us to add a whole nother classroom teacher.
Sure.
Because if you got open enrollment, you know, revenue for it, it still doesn't account for the taxation that those people pay in other school districts. They're not paying the property taxes from that other district. So it doesn't behoove us to add a classroom.
Yeah.
It's good to fill up the classrooms.
Yeah. Now, would we even have a classroom for them to be in?
We could certainly.
Okay.
There's a couple spaces that could be used as classrooms.
If necessary.
Yeah. So if we have residential students that move in and we get closer to that 100 or go over 100, then we would, you know, consider that. We do that in March. We do our staffing March and April. Staffing for the next year, and that's when we look our projected numbers and do that. But other than that, I was kind of checking classroom sizes. You know, it certainly depends on what grade levels.
Sure.
Some high school classes have more because there's more interest in certain electives or certain. We have certain some teachers teach multiple subjects, and so they have to fill up their classrooms with students. But so we're generally under 30, but you know. We have classes that are at the 20 range.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly appreciate the work that our teachers do to try to meet the needs of those kids. If you have 20, 25 little ones in a classroom, you can imagine. Our kids came to school ready to learn, but our kindergartners are a little bit wired up this morning. So it was interesting.
A 6 year old still a 6 year old.
So they're good kids though.
So when like you meet, like this first grade class that's got 92 in it, that trend of that grade always needing four classes is likely going to continue right up through junior high.
Yeah, and we've manipulated. We've had elementary teachers that have changed grade levels for that purpose. So that's happened in the last 2 years.
So is like that done on a voluntary basis, or is that something like you and the administrators say, okay, so you next year we're going to need four second graders.
We talk to the staff and see if there's any interest out there. Sometimes it's posted, and then those that are interested. And if it's not, no one's interested, then we have to, you know, make some selections. But we've had, our teachers are very understanding that they want to help the kids. And so we've had, each year we've had a volunteer to move a different grade level. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then the numbers in kindergarten this year.
They're in the 70s instead of the 90s. So it shows you the imbalance of 1 year.
That's really odd. And then you probably don't know yet from a preschool standpoint, right?
We start looking at that in February, March, prior to the staffing. So we can get a sense, but there's so much can happen. Somebody can move out, move in, and they're not really sure at that point where they are as far as their readiness for kindergarten. We can kind of get a basis based on their ages, but you never know if they're going to come.
Yeah,
because they have options to stay out.
So as like we were talking, and it's something that I don't want to forget. So most of these decisions are at the superintendent and administration call, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to the school board, what is their scope of responsibility?
Well, it's there's no set answer to that question, but they certainly have oversight needs. They certainly hire and hire the superintendent and treasurer and evaluate those two individuals, and certainly monitor what I'm doing with the administrative staff and the teaching staff. So, you know, we've got an admin team that works very hard. We've got Tony Stahl and Ryan Steinbrenner and Kelly Toby, who really work hard, along with Deanna Kanapke as a treasurer, working together to try to make answers or come up with answers for many of those things. And the board does establish policy. They have input into the policy that is developed. And if you stacked up the policy book, if it was actually a piece of paper, you know, it'd probably be about a 6-inch, 8-inch binder full of paper. But we have that online, and so they have input into that, and they give me guidance. I mean, I provide, well, actually not me, Deanna Kanapke and myself have a notes every Friday. So this Friday it's number 159 that we've communicated with them on just some of the things that go on in the school and celebrations and things going on with staff. And so that's something that just is passed on to them and try to have a communication tool that they know is coming once a week at least. And then, like today, I sent a text to the board.
Yeah.
I give them some input on, or give them some information about the chiller for one thing and some of the other things that's happened in the last week, and saying that the buses all made it to the right places.
Yay.
For the most part,
Bus drivers, good shape, decent shape.
Yeah, he just mentioned that because the hiring of Mr. Mullenkamp. Once we get him on board, he has a CDL already, but he's just got to pass those ODE tests.
Yeah, I've worked with him at CALPS. He was driving there until he did this. you're gonna like
him.
Oh,
no. Yes. He's a big round of applause at our convocation meeting.
Maybe just because there's one more, but he's a very good find for you.
Yep. We're pleased to have him.
Yep.
So, so when it comes to finances, okay, every fiscal year, it's always kind of dependent upon the state, and I know the last couple of years there's been some pandemic money that may have helped with it.
It certainly did help.
Yeah. So as we go into the new school year, what's it looking like?
Well, there's no immediate financial concerns right now. We actually finished about $600,000 in the black from last fiscal year. That was primarily based on the influx of dollars that we spent using the ESSER dollars, which the elementary and secondary school emergency fund. So we were fortunate to utilize those when there was some very strong restrictions on a certain amount. There was an amount that we had to spend in learning loss. And so we did contract with some learning loss aides through the ESC. And so last year was their first year, and we have one more year of their services for sure. So there's some restricted, but a lot of things, they understood that you might have had a less income tax coming in, or you might have had more needs and challenges to come up with all the filters and all the, the masks and all that other stuff, even though a lot of it was donated. So the ESSER funds have been a big boost, but yeah, we're sitting in good shape, and we've been in surplus spending for many years now, and so we eventually inflation, after these ESSER dollars are going away, we could get into a spot with inflation, and especially with the rise in cost of our supplies and things, we could face some deficit spending.
Was that federal money?
Yes, that was.
Okay.
It was passed through the states, though.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, because the federal money can kind of make money, just kind of give it out there, but the states have to have a balanced budget, so they can't.
Correct.
They can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I just was hoping that we weren't going to start seeing higher state taxes of some sort, even though the money would be well spent.
The district is in a spot where we don't have a specific plan for any levies that are needed at this point. Don't know when that'll be needed, but right now we're in pretty good shape based on the amount of the reserve and the fact that we, even if we would start a deficit spending, it wouldn't be spending $1 million more than we're bringing in, anything like that. So we're very conservative on how many staff members we hire during that staffing plan. Basically, we've kind of been staying about the same.
Yeah.
And occasionally we use some ESSER dollars for some of those supplemental things.
So as and it's been a long time since I was on the Board of Education, but when you break down our school finances, there's the state and the local income tax and the local property tax were the three main pieces of that puzzle.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So about how much of each piece of that pie would those three represent?
Okay. Well, for one, the state and local share contributions come out, the state establishes what that is.
Yeah.
Kind of based on the need and ability to pay. So basically, it's not a real simple calculation, but where we're close to the 50-50, where, where a put and bay would be 90% local, 98% local share and 2% state funding, some things like that. So we're about in the 50-50 range.
And
it's based on median income is one of the key things.
Yep.
And then there are some other factors that fit into the foundation payments as far as special education costs and things like that we balance. And so that's where we can kind of get a sense of where we are financially.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. Those are the main sources.
And then is our income tax slightly higher than our property tax as far as
it's a one point,
size of that piece?
It's about 1.5, and it's not to the same level as the property tax, but it has been. It's one of the things that's been increasing.
That grows.
We've had growth here in the last, especially from last year to this year, a big increase, and I think that's based on employment rate in Mercer County and things like that. So that's helped part of that $600,000 in you know additional revenue beyond the breaking point was increase in income tax from 21 to 22 fiscal years.
So fantastic. Well, tell you what, we're going to take another break, and I'd like to come back and talk about who the board members are, mm-hmm. you know, just to mention them, and then to talk about the school district goals. Mm-hmm. I know that you guys spend a lot of time creating those and developing those, so I thought it'd be
sure.
worth touching
on
those. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. ForRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4848.
Summer grilling season is here, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need. They have nicely trimmed steaks ready to go, and their prices are the lowest around. Ribeyes are $9.99 a pound. T-bones, New York strips, and bone-in ribeyes are $7.99 a pound. Their ground chuck is $4.29 a pound, bulk or patties, and Eckrich hot dogs are two for $3. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Get everything for your summer grilling season at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. And Wayne Street Market is hiring, full-time or part-time in all departments. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host National Trail. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast that match live. On Friday, the boys will travel to Urbana to take on the Hill Climbers, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast that game with the Wayne Street Market pregame show starting at 6:40. Get out to all the games this year to help support our volleyball and football teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Back Insight, Jack Rocker, Superintendent Larry Brown, talking about all things school and the start of the school year. Pretty good first day.
Yeah, the kids had a good time. And yeah. I think the parents are smiling, too, as they dropped them off and met them, you know, saw them off on the bus. And yeah, it was a good first day.
It is always neat seeing the various first day of school pictures on Facebook. Yeah. There's hundreds of them.
My wife took a picture of me this morning.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she sent it off to my daughters.
Did you hold up a little sign?
No, I didn't, but I think I had like the same outfit when I was a principal. I had this, you know, blue and khaki on when I was a principal one time, so she said, I got to take your picture.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
that's cool. Let's talk about the school board. Okay.
Yep.
Who's currently on the school board?
Well, I'm so pleased to have a board that communicates with me and works hard for the community. And they're important part. I should have clarified. They're also a good liaison for the community. You know, they're the people they grew up with. You know, I can never make myself a Fort Recovery graduate. I'm a Sandusky High School graduate, so there's no way that, you know, people are going to have the same relationship with me. So they are the, you know, the conduit of getting communication to them. So we're pleased to have Mr. Don Wendell as our president of the board. And then Mr. Nick Workamp is the vice president, and we've got three other members. It's Ann Guggenmiller and Sean Kalick, and Jake Kanapke.
Sounds like a pretty good group.
They're a very good group.
And
different skills.
Yes. One thing I was thinking about, we haven't had anybody I can think of for decades that has had an axe to grind that just got on the school board to cause trouble,
right,
or to push an agenda. We've had some outstanding, and I can't think of one that isn't, we've had some outstanding people on our school board for years upon years. Don't agree with everything they do every time, but that definitely does not mean they don't have the overall long-term good of Fort Recovery Schools in their mind. Now, there can be some differences in how you get there, and that's okay. And sometimes you come up with, really good new ideas just by somebody doing that. But we haven't had that troublemaker, axe to grind person. I can't remember.
I've heard good things about Jack's.
Even when Jack was there, he was okay too.
I was okay.
Yeah, so, I'm very pleased. Yeah. It's exciting to.
Yeah, it's
to have
good
a to
have that,
together.
And it's really important that we don't have somebody with one agenda, even if it's a good agenda. If they're a one lane person, that doesn't help.
Yeah, they definitely talk. You know, a lot of times when we're talking about a personnel issue, you know, in executive session, we don't necessarily take action that same meeting, but sometimes it comes up. You know, it's planning for the future, a future agenda. So they have great discussions, and like you said, they don't always agree totally on things. But as a team, you know, with input from Ms. Kanapke and myself, they come to the conclusion and direction that they want to. So they were, you know, excited to have those goals. You were talking about some of the goals that we planned for and under our culture and commitment guide. So
you know, the other thing that you have going for you, besides a committed, supportive board, is your administrative staff has been able to all come back. You know, and I think, this first time that we've been able to kind of keep all three of the principals, you know, they all come back for a second year or fourth year or fifth year. You know, that's a plus, too.
Yeah, and hopefully that remains the same. So we're excited that, those three are, and along with Ms. Kanapke, certainly work hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to allow them to have that opportunity to run their buildings and run their operations. So hopefully they feel that way. But they're I'll talk out loud that they're three people I'm real proud of, the principal wise, and certainly working with Deanna. It's a different role with her and I, but we certainly work together also.
And Deanna has been the treasurer for how long?
A little over 3 years, 4 years. Three. Yeah, she came in right before I did.
She was assistant before that for a year or two, correct?
During that transition.
Yeah, because they knew Lori was going to retire, and they wanted to get somebody in there so they could. Could kind of make it all flow. Mm-hmm. So we have some great administrators right now. I am really happy.
So we touched on the district goals. So could you share a bit about that process and then what those goals are for the upcoming year?
Well, we involved what's called our district leadership team, which is made up of classified and certified staff along with the administration are also on that. And, you know, we came to some conclusions looking at, you know, test scores, looking at data, looking at what we need to do for safety, where we were with the finances. It's kind of, we have four main areas that we focus on. The main kind of academic focus is we set a pretty high bar to get what's called a performance index of 106.5, which is where it would put us up, you know, where some of the other MAC schools are, right at the, you know, and maybe at the top of those districts. So that's where we set the bar, and we're trying to strive now. We're almost, this new grade card is going to kind of give us a new benchmark because test scores have been, you know, different. So the plan went into into place right prior to the COVID situation. Yeah. So we still have those goals, though. We still want to meet that. And then 85% of our what are called our indicators on the report card. Safety-wise, there was a niche.com thing, and in the time we were number one, and I haven't checked it this year, but we strive to be the number one safety school in our community, and that has to do with numbers of expulsions and serious incidents in your school. And then, obviously, meeting all the deadlines for submissions to our auditor for fire drills and safety drills and things like that. And then, of course, we have with the finances goals, we have a what's called a true day cash balance limit, and we're not even close to that. It's set at 90 days of operational costs. We're nowhere near that. We're way above that.
Yeah.
And so, but eventually it's going to it'll as inflation costs go up, because the operational levies don't change much unless there's new property in the districts. So that's basically where we are. We continue to strive, but that our DLT then kind of has action plans. And so we'll be starting the new development for this year's action plans to head toward some of those goals. And some of them might repeat, but we have, every time we have a meeting, we hit those action steps and who's responsible for them. So it's not a document. It may be still in somebody's, their little magazine bin down there. But for us, we've got it. We pull them out and share, like a new staff member. They get a copy of that cultural commitment guide. And so
is there like goals for participation, like to have you 90% of your students involved in some sort of extracurricular?
We have some of that in the action plan, specific, but there's no overall reaching. It's not one of the major goals, but yes, we do have, as far as, trying to have involvement in the schools, and that has to do with the climate, because our focus three thing is basically the climate goal. So yeah, actually one of those is that we track is the participation, and I can't tell you exactly what it is this year, but we've met, there's a good portion of our students that are participating in those things, and we kind of monitor that.
Good. So I'm going to ask for your expertise, okay? And this is more of a national type thing.
36 years in education.
Yep. So
he knows everything.
No.
So when you look at, and you hear a lot about how the distant learning and the COVID stuff are going to set kids back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What these kids went through, Now we from a district standpoint didn't have near as long of a stretch of kids out of the classroom as some other school districts did.
Correct.
What is your thought on the long-term effects of the whole COVID out-of-school thing?
Well, if you look at some of the other districts that did stay out for over a year, maybe 2 years, certainly we're hearing from them, and they have major concerns about the social-emotional needs of those students in those districts. I wouldn't say that I've seen anything that's been radical, even. Just the stress, though, level of, wearing a mask, even the portion of the year that we did wear masks, and just the stress involved with that. And we have seen, kids that are a little more apprehensive about coming to school sometimes. We did see, occasionally now, it's for homeschooling. We sometimes didn't used to be this way, but we might have one student that homeschools and the other three are in class model.
Yeah.
So we're seeing some uniqueness there. Not huge numbers, but that wouldn't happen, as much years ago.
Yeah.
In this case, based on maybe it's just a personal decision of the family, but sometimes there's discussion also that they're not assimilating as much as they did the year before, or what they did in 2019.
Let's say there is a case where a kid isn't assimilating very well. is it a good thing for them to kind of stay home and not be in an uncomfortable situation for them, or should they need to be in school? Well, and I'm sure that depends on a thousand different things.
It does. It's not really. We offer.
There isn't a hard and fast rule, is kind of what I was asking.
We're ready to support them.
Yes.
And actually, we've added one of those initiatives is to have social emotional coaches. So we have a full time social emotional coach that we've hired through the ESC that we, it's going to talk to kids that are you know, assist Mandy Gerlach at the elementary middle school on, you know, those types of challenges or getting even to getting homework done or if there's something, you know, going on, you know. So we have reacted to that in a small manner. You know, one staff member isn't going
right.
to change everything, but we certainly wanted to utilize those ESC grant monies to bring in someone. And we're not the only ones. Parkway did it last year, and they continued a full-time person. And St. Henry and Marion Local are sharing a social-emotional coach. Yeah. So our staff is learning on how to use those. But impulsive changes, you know, they might be working with a kid on how to reduce the impulsiveness or, you know, outbursts that they might have. Because not every one of our kids is perfect. They're good kids in our district. This is the best kids I've ever had in any school district ever.
Well, you weren't there when I was in high school. We were perfect. There wasn't any problem.
There's still challenges, and we still have detentions, and, you know, occasionally we'll have a suspension for doing something that's, you know, not too smart. But that's what it's for, is to try to get help, or even peer mediation with kids not getting along. You know, lots of things that they can do. So it's to add to Mandy Gerlach's abilities with having another person to assist, and also working side by side with Kelly and Ryan.
Yeah.
And for high school, that person's going to meet with 3, 4, or 5 of what Mr. Stahl views as, you know, some students that might have some needs.
Yeah.
So you mentioned two groups of people. One was the homeschool kids, and the second was the number of kids that we have coming into our school district from outside of our. What are those numbers?
You mean inter-district enrollment?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're plus like 30 some in open enrollment.
Yeah.
You know, we have students coming from St. Henry, Mississinewa, some from Coldwater, one from Salina, and so there's more. There's some that do go to those other schools, but there's about 30 some more. We're plus on the plus side, about 30. And homeschool, there was definitely we had much higher numbers in 21 than we do now, and so a lot of those students may have done homeschool for a year, and then now they're back. But there are some that are utilizing that, and there's their right to do.
Sure.
You know, they're more of a religious-based education that they want in their home. And so actually reviewed those applications for homeschooling. Homeschooling and internet-based instruction are different. And we don't have many kids that go out to other digital-based learning systems. But homeschooling, you know, is specific to, they have the right and apply to have year to year to have homeschooling.
Very good. I'll tell you what, hey, we're going to take one more break.
Is it possible I can squeeze one question in?
No, can't. Sorry. No? Okay.
Yes, you can. I have control of the board. Go ahead, Rocker.
All right.
Okay, somebody who, let's say, is homeschooled, are they still able to, let's say, be qualified to go to, let's say, TriStar? Could they be?
No, they have to either be full-time homeschool or enrolled in the school district. There isn't a part-time homeschool thing. Now, they can participate in extracurricular activities. The law changed that they can do those.
So if they're homeschooling, they can be an FFA or something like that?
That's co-curricular.
Oh, okay.
Extracurricular. There's band and co-curriculars are different.
Okay.
So we have a distinction between them, because there's instruction that goes on during the day in those subjects, excuse me, and extracurriculars outside of the educational system. But, yeah, they basically have to make a choice. Now, there are other flexible student options that we have where kids work, you know, in high school. They might work and have flex credit. So there's all kinds
of course,
of
I
options.
Guess if somebody is homeschooled, they probably wouldn't be in the TriStar program, I wouldn't think. Because the whole point of being homeschooled is that they're not in the environment of other kids.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the definition
that's,
of that?
Well, that's the option that they tell us officially that they're not going to enroll in an in-class model for school.
That's all I had.
Rocker, that was an excellent question.
See, they don't give this job to chimps.
That's right.
So really?
I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break.
Yeah, it's almost 8 o'clock.
I know it. Perfect. And we'll come back and wrap things up with Larry and just kind of touch on a few reminders, and we'll be back right after
and
this.
And we'll talk with Rocker.
Yes.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Did you realize the Fed is highly considering moving short-term interest rates up for operating money with 5 to 7/4% increases this year? No, it's not the end of the world, but planning is definitely imperative. And these costs will be passed down to you without a careful review and plan. Come visit me today for a review of your plan and your business. Have a chat with someone that puts you first. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at CSG Consulting in Fort Recovery. 419-852-4049.
The fourth annual Win on the Wall Bash will be held on August 26th and 27th in Fort Recovery. This ages 18 plus event offers something for everyone, including music, food and drinks, exhibitors, vendors, games, and of course, many ways to win. Our lineup of raffles includes the Saturday Super Raffle, Friday Night Tow and Go Raffle, pre-event 50-50, Friday night and Saturday 50-50s, attendance drawings, and many other side raffles the days of the event. In total, nearly $1 million worth of prizes will be given away throughout the weekend. Other entertainment includes headlining musical artists Caitlin Schmidt, Saul Creek, Jake Worthington, and Drew Parker. Weekend entry wristbands can be purchased at the gate for only $10. Check out all the details at wowraffle.com, and we'll see you August 26th and 27th in Fort Recovery.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Insight. Rocker, talking to Mr. Larry Brown, Superintendent of Fort Recovery Schools. Larry, as always, it was a pleasure talking school stuff with you. Any dates to remember or things coming up that we should be aware of?
Well, our school calendar, I don't keep those dates. There's so many dates going on, but
thank God for the school calendar.
The graduation is at the same time period, in the end of May, same weekend,
yeah.
On a Sunday at 2 o'clock. That's a key date for seniors. We're just so many activities going on at school. I don't have any specific things in my mind.
Except Saturday at 1 o'clock?
Noon to one.
Noon.
Don't come at one. You'd be hearing the last tune, probably.
Yeah.
Saturday at noon. Yep. Stop up at the WOW and listen to Larry and his buddies playing some
classic
70s
rock.
And 80s music.
It's a lot of 70s and 80s. There are a couple newer songs.
Yep.
Yeah. Fantastic.
We like it.
Yeah. Well,
thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
it's a pleasure, and you know, maybe we'll touch base towards the end of the school year.
That'd
and
be fine.
And maybe even toward the end of the calendar year, whenever or anytime you have something that you want to get out, we will be
that.
Very happy to make sure that you get on either with a short thing or our whole segment to make sure that people get informed on what's going on.
We appreciate your support for the community. The whole station does a wonderful job of not only the athletic but the student activities that go on.
Yeah, so we try to do that, and with Jack doing the public affairs thing, we try to do a good job of keeping people informed on what's actually going on and hearing it from the people that are in charge of doing it. So,
and as far as media goes, you guys are real fair. I appreciate that.
Well, in sports, we're fair, but we are biased.
There we go. Yeah.
So, thank you very much. And you're allowed to hang around because I think we're going to chit-chat with Rocker here.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you got, Rocker?
Well, you know, back again for another season of this happiness. On this day in pop culture history.
On this day.
Today?
This is Tuesday.
Oh, give me a year and let me see if I can guess it.
Well, this is going to be pretty easy then.
Okay.
1812.
I don't know.
1812. Well, this would be the beginning of the War of 1812?
No, just a certain particular moment.
Paul Revere.
No, you're 40 years ahead.
Way behind. Way too late on that one.
Oh.
Neil, you want to take a shot?
Well, I'm 1812. Let's see. This
Francis
would be...
Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner.
It has something to do with the First Lady.
So
Dolly Madison baked her first cookie.
No, she saved the portrait of George Washington.
Thank you, Neil.
When the British came in and burned the White House. She was a couple hours ahead of them. She had the servants, slaves, take the painting, the 6 or 8 foot painting of George Washington off the wall because the British had claimed they were going to take it and parade it through London and show them that they had conquered the colonies.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, I just said it better.
Yeah.
1991, the birth of the World Wide Web.
Really?
WWW.
Yes.
By? Al Gore?
Al Gore.
Yeah, well, it's whatever you want to go with that
one. He said he did. He has an honest face. I don't have any reason to doubt him.
So did John Wayne Gacy.
I know, he was scary.
Okay, today we got, now this one's not much. I go with what I get.
I go with what I get.
1869, which I think it's when it was invented or patented. National Waffle Day.
Oh.
Today's, you know, when the waffle was invented.
Really?
Or maybe they just decided it'd be National Waffle Day that day.
So, like, are you a fan of waffles?
I don't mind them. I'm more of a pancake guy.
Yeah, me too. Waffles are okay. They're kind of crispy.
It depends.
I'm not sure I love them. If you put like 6, 7, 8 gallons of syrup and butter on them, that softens them right up. Yeah, they're like pancakes.
That makes them pretty good.
But they do hold the syrup.
I bought each of my kids a waffle maker for Christmas like 10 years ago.
They still use them?
None of them have ever taken it out of the box.
So they should re-gift them back to you
for
your graduation.
Two.
Oh, yeah, so. Did you get the two back from them?
Three.
You got all three back?
No. I mean, I have my own two.
Uh-huh.
And I gave them each one, and they've never used it.
But I'm saying they should give them back to you.
Why?
Because they don't want
need them.
Well, they didn't either.
Apparently.
It's your fault. You should have them in your storage instead of theirs. So what else we have, Rocket?
Do we got time for birthday shout-out?
Yes.
Yesterday we got Caleb Dobson, Kelsey Feely's, the original Kelsey Feely's husband.
Ah, yes.
And today, the big one.
Oh.
Yakko's birthday today.
I don't think I knew that.
Big 43?
I think that's about right.
Who's?
Eric Krieg.
Oh.
Yakko.
Happy birthday,
Happy birthday, Yakko.
Also, Caitlin Brackman and Aaron Littmer today.
Awesome. So, and, celebrity birthdays.
Oh, yeah, we got yesterday. Everybody's favorite genie, Barbara Eden, turned 91.
91.
She's still living?
Yes, still with us.
I read a thing about that. Part of the rules of the show was that
she couldn't show her navel, right?
Well, that wasn't until the third season. The,
really?
Her bottle was never allowed to be in Tony's bedroom.
Hmm.
Yes. And if there was ever a scene in Tony's bedroom, it had to be that one of them had to be leaving, and it had to show Jeannie's smoke going away. That was, and it was all because it didn't want to be
interspecies,
yes,
sex.
Well, yes, whatever.
Genies aren't
been
the same species as people.
Kinky or whatever it would, yeah, have been.
Well, so, that's kinky right out of this one. Shelley Long turned 73.
Hey, she's my age.
Cheers.
I was thinking she was slightly younger than me.
No, nothing crickets on that one.
What was the name of the movie that she starred in with
Not a clue.
Tom Hanks?
Money Pit.
What?
Absolute flop.
Money Pit, he
But
says.
You know what? I kind of liked it.
You would.
You see
I
it?
I have no idea.
Yes.
I mean, it was a flop, but it wasn't a bad movie.
God awful.
So, why?
So there. Because she's a no-talent hack.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't know. She's never done anything that anybody remembers.
Cheers.
Except that one character in Cheers.
Well, but you can say that about a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. And I will, if their name comes up. They had one character. Everybody loved to hate her. And she's never done anything since.
I'll bet you don't like Henry Winkler either.
Oh, I love Henry Winkler.
Why?
Well, He's
a hack.
No, not at all.
He's only famous because of that one character.
No. He's done two very popular characters since then. He's on a series right now on one of the streaming services. Well, and he's probably one of the, I'm going to say, 25 most popular actors right now, and most of them have no idea he was the Fonz. And he is one neat guy. When you see him on a TV talk show, he's awesome. He's funny. He is a neat guy.
Go ahead,
Rob. So there.
Steph Curry turns 32.
Steph Curry?
This is his brother, Seth.
Well.
Today, we got the former chairman, Vince McMahon, turns 77. Former chairman of the WWF.
So is his daughter in charge of that now?
Yeah, daughter and Triple H, and it's a mess.
Oh, seems about right.
Steve Guttenberg, Police Academy.
Is he the guy that invented the Gutenberg Bible?
I don't think so.
Gutenberg Press printed the first Bible back in 16-something.
I thought Larry said he was on the school board.
Steve Guttenberg?
Yeah.
Or is that Larry Guttenberg? Jim Guttenberg. What's his name?
Ann
Guttenberg. That's Guttenbiller.
Yeah. Guttenbiller.
And here's the more important one of the bunch.
Okay.
Cal Ripken Jr. turns 62.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
When you think about playing in how many straight games?
10,000. I don't know how many it was. This is a lot.
I think it was like 2,160.
Whatever it was, he beat Lou Gehrig's unbeatable record.
Let's go back to the fact that you called the Fonz a hack.
No. Using Neil's definition, the Fonz is a hack.
No. Because he's done a number
movies
now for 20 years.
So is Shelley
Long.
He was
just there. Name something that Shelley Long's been in that people even have heard of recently. Now, I can't tell you what show it is because it's on streaming services because I don't have the streaming services, but he is extremely popular right now. Henry Winkler is one of the most popular people in pretty much every age group right now.
Opinions are like belly buttons. Mm-hmm. We all have one.
Yeah, but I have an innie.
Pull your shirt down, Neil.
Top 10 things we never wanted to know.
And with that said, Rocker, is that it?
I'm out of gas on that one.
Stay tuned for Sports Talk. Bubba and Fee.
Yep.
Bubba has who? Holly?
I never heard, so I don't know.
Well, Bubba's going to show up.
Yes, he's already shown up, and
yep.
And Fee's out there also. They are ready to roll.
So we'll be back next week.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Sports Talk.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors.